morning. The first reading is from Psalm 47, verses 5 through 9. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. The second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The word of the Lord.
I'd like to share a few stories with you this morning. Mary was crying so hard that she could barely see the road as she blindly groped for her husband's hand. But he couldn't hold her hand because he was too busy wiping his tears away with one and steering with the other. She wondered if they should pull over because he surely couldn't see to drive. But she didn't want to risk that they would be seen by anybody who had just watched them unload their son's belongings into his dorm room just a few minutes before. She knew that her son Sam would be so hurt if they embarrassed him by falling apart, not 20 yards from where his new life was set to begin. So they drove on, stopping for coffee at a diner on the edge of town. Sam was her last child, her baby. How could he be starting college? She wasn't ready to give him up. But she knew that even as she was falling apart, he was changing into swim trunks, getting ready for the freshman pool party. What would she do with herself now that he was launched? She reached for her husband's hand again. This time, he was able to reach out and squeeze hers back. Larry sat beside his wife's bedside, holding her hand, during all these long weeks as her body had closed down and the illness finished its cruel work. Now that she had stopped breathing, he was filled with profound sadness. What would happen to him? He'd never lived alone. From growing up in his parents' house to being in the army during World War II, and then married to Ethel just 2 weeks after being discharged. Someone had always taken care of his daily needs. Until Ethel had gotten sick, that is. Before that, he'd never even fixed himself a meal his entire adult life. And the other things, like balancing the checkbook and renewing the insurance and sending their children birthday cards and paying the taxes, what did he know of these things, he wondered. Ethel had always just quietly, effortlessly taken care of this. What did he know about how to live alone? What did he know about how to sleep alone? With Ethel gone, where would the tenderness in his life come from? He didn't know, but he knew that he needed to get up and call hospice and the doctor and the funeral home. Gently, he let go of Ethel's hand and began to stand. Even as Alice walked across the platform to receive her diploma with high honors, she was filled with a sense of dread. Where would she ever find friends like the ones she had just shared the last 4 years with? As a student, she knew who she was. Her life was orderly and fun. She worked hard all day, attending classes and studying, and in the evenings, she enjoyed herself. Late-night discussions and parties, intramurals for volleyball and softball, and always she found someone she knew to talk to when she went to the gym to work out. College had become her whole world, a little town in which she fit and succeeded brilliantly. But nothing on the horizon looked nearly as promising. There was no job offer in sight, no way to pay for grad school, and as if that weren't bad enough, all of her closest friends had great plans. Susie was going to Europe, Mark to med school, and Brian had landed a fantastic job in Boston. Is this it, she wondered? Have I reached the peak of my life at 22? What should I do next? What should I do next? What should I do next? She repeated to herself as she marched back to her seat, diploma in hand. What should I do next? John finished emptying the container of his desk into a second cardboard box and was amazingly surprised by how little space it all took. 25 years of being at work 5 days a week daily, and it only filled 2 large paper boxes. Early retirement, his boss had said, but to John it felt like he had been banished to Siberia. Who would ever hire him at 57? He was too old to start over and too young to be finished. And how would they survive? They had counted on 8 more years to build up their retirement account. Mostly, he just felt so embarrassed in front of everyone. His wife, his kids who were finally starting to succeed on their own, his aging mother. 25 years and this is where it got him? John taped the second box closed and carried it to his car. As he left his office, he handed in his ID badge and his office key. What is next, he wondered, and he just didn't know. John, Peter, James, Matthew, Mary, and Joanna huddled together in a little rented room. They were bewildered and grief-stricken. Each of them had given up so much in the last 3 years because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah that the Jewish people had awaited for millennia. They'd followed him and listened to them. They'd reshaped their lives and reshaped their hearts based on what they'd heard him say, all because they were sure that he would change the world. And then, so disbelievingly, they watched him be arrested, tortured, crucified, and killed. From here to here, in such a short time, they had been dashed and devastated. But they were slowly, uncertainly, beginning to mend just a bit. And even maybe to feel hope that they hadn't misplaced their trust, that they hadn't misunderstood. Because a few miraculous times following his death, Jesus had appeared to them. To Mary in the garden, just a few days after he'd been killed. In an upper room where the doors were locked, Jesus had come in and shown them his wounds, had Thomas put a finger in his side. And on the beach, he'd appeared and made breakfast for Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, Andrew, and John. And just this morning, he had gathered them all together once again. But this time he said, I am leaving you for good. One minute he'd been as close and real as he'd ever been, as close as the person sitting next to them, and the next he was descending into the sky, engulfed in a cloud, and their necks ached from staring upward. What would happen now? Not one of them knew. All they knew was that Jesus had told them to wait in Jerusalem for the power from on high. And what in the world could that even mean, the power from on high? They'd liked it 40 days back when Jesus was alive and they were all together. It seemed to be getting worse and worse. Power from on high? But even as they began to grieve all over again, they remembered his words on the night before he was betrayed. I tell you the truth. It is for your own good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, then I can send the Holy Spirit to you. Like so much in life, even in faith, the disciples had to have something end in order for the next right thing to begin. But hardly any of us like endings. It's an uncomfortable place to be, especially when we don't know what's going to come next. They had had 40 days since his death to get used to this idea. He had been kind and given them time to grieve. He had appeared and comforted them. But now it was time for them to grow up, so to speak, to prepare themselves to be used by God in deeper and greater ways. But we all know that letting go is really hard work. If we had time this morning, each and every one of you could share a story of a time when you had to let go or end something that nearly broke your heart, something that you could not imagine would ever be replaced or that you could move forward into that would bring you joy or meaning. But just as the seed must split open if the plant is to grow, we humans need to do the same sometimes. We need to end one chapter before we can begin the next. One thing is sure about life. It is not static. God knows this and will be faithful throughout all the changes. And God promises to travel with us. And if not to always make things better, at least to make things bearable. God is with us in each ending and each new beginning. 6 months after Mary's youngest son started school, she submitted her first quilt to a show. She won first prize, and the quilt was entitled Open Doors. It was made from scraps of Sam's old play clothes. Larry had a hard year and a half after Ethel died. Just getting up in the morning was difficult for him. He didn't take good care of himself. He didn't take good care of his house. But now, 2 years later, he's tutoring fourth graders at his local grammar school. As they read together, he is offering to them the tenderness that he misses so much in his life. These children that Larry's reading to are thriving, and so is Larry beginning to believe in tenderness once again. Alice found a well-paying but uninspired job 2 months after graduating from college. A year later, she'd saved enough money to dare to go to graduate school to become a college professor, and she's finding a new community to belong to. With fear and trembling, John took his seemingly insufficient retirement account and opened a hobby shop. Now he spends his days building models of the kinds of planes that he used to design. There was a small but dedicated group of teenagers in his town who are interested in learning how to design and build models. He still wonders about his financial future every single day, but he's never enjoyed going to work so much before, and right now that feels like enough to him. John, Peter, James, Matthew, Mary, and Joanna, and a few of their friends did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They waited in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit, and when it came, they were filled with power that they could never have imagined. Each of them spent the rest of their lives sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in all kinds of ways, some boldly preaching, others tenderly caring, some stepping out in the limelight, others behind the scenes, making sure that no one was hungry and no one was scared. 2,000 years later, we remember their love of God. We are the fruit of their ability to step into the new chapter of their lives. Their dedication and their commitment to Jesus Christ is what has included you and I in the story of a God who loves enough to take on human frailty and to turn it into something that cannot be diminished. They gave away their lives that we might find life, just as Christ did. This day, we praise their courage, and we hope to imitate their faith. In whatever way there is a chapter ending in your life and a new one opening, walk into it with confidence, joy, and gratitude, open to God's new provision in your new moment, and know that you will never be left behind, never abandoned, never betrayed, always loved into that next place where you will blossom and grow. Amen.